Once again, Norman has asked me to conduct the worship for today and next Sunday while he has a holiday. And he very kindly arranged it, obviously, knowing that he wasn't to be here and you'd be looking at me, that he would give you something nice to look at as well. But it's lovely to see the church so well decorated. Let's begin, as we usually do here, with a moment of silence to reflect that God is with us as we worship Him. The psalmist wrote, "I wait eagerly for the Lord's help, and in His word I trust." We worship God by singing hymn 461, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds." Kindness to humanity, because Jesus lived and died for us and has shown us a love beyond our deserving. So it is only right that we offer you in return not only the gift of our money, but the gift of lives committed to faithful service. Receive our gifts and enable us to show loving kindness to all around us. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. And this morning our scene is going to be set by Sue Hamilton.
Slightly different from normal setting the scene. We're on the fruit of the Spirit still, and we've been through several fruits, and today's is kindness. I've been allowed to hijack this slot today through the kindness of Elaine, whose turn it should have been to have set the scene today. I requested a moment to tell you the very sad news that that very beacon of kindness, Tradecraft, the pioneering fair trade organisation, has decided that it has to cease trading from Christmas this year. It was established on Christian principles of justice, and the Tradecraft stall has been a fixture in this church longer than any other church, for nearly 40 years, since Jane Bryant started it in 1979. Sadly, now just short of its 40th birthday, Tradecraft has last month announced that it has to cease trading at the end of this year, along with many other people whose lives have been dedicated to Tradecraft. I have been deeply saddened by this news. Fairness is not listed as one of the fruits of the Spirit, but one could say that it is closely linked to kindness. Traditional trading relationships are often one-sided and exploitative. Ethical businesses like Tradecraft have brought a kindness into trading relationships. But trading fairly brings with it additional costs and additional risks. Ethical businesses, and fair trade ones in particular, aim to grow their businesses to have the maximum possible impact on the people and communities who produce the goods that we use. They want to keep their selling price as low as possible so that their wares are as accessible for as many people as possible. They do, of course, need to cover their costs and pay wages, but they aren't trying to make a profit for its own sake. They want to sell more so that they can place more orders and support more people. Tradecraft was structured to do exactly that. The costs of trading fairly are, of course, higher than for other sellers. That's the whole point of fair trade, to make sure that the people you are buying from receive a fair price. In addition, fair trade businesses try to provide contracts that cover a long period, giving income security to the partners they work with. But in these turbulent times for retailing, the fair trade business model has become increasingly fragile. Tradecraft, after a number of years trading at a loss, then the Brexit referendum in itself caused a drop in the value of the pound, which caused a loss to Tradecraft of £250,000, just like that. It was not sustainable. In the spirit of behaving fairly, Tradecraft will explore all possible options of supporting their suppliers, with whom collaborative and powerful relationships have developed over decades. Tradecraft also, of course, undertakes to ensure that the 60 or so staff redundancies are handled with kindness. What can we do? Well, Tradecraft is asking just that we keep buying Tradecraft for the remainder of this year so that they can fulfil their obligations. Fair trade won't stop, hopefully, because Tradecraft has knitted it into our country's fabric and most of Europe also. Donald Trump has a bit of a different view of fair trade. He says, it's not fair when people do things that he doesn't like. But fair trade in its genuine sense will sustain if people continue to think where they're buying things from, why they're buying things, and who produces the goods they produce. So shop with kindness. Thank you.
saying, when one door closes, another opens, and maybe something else will develop that will replace tradecraft. Let's pray that that will happen. We sing our next song. It's number 165 in Mission Praise. Give me a heart that will love the unlovely.
Good morning. A few things to share with you. Starting off with some sad news. Norman, before he left on Friday, received news that Michael Orr had died. He knew little more than that in checking with Craig Lindsay this morning. There is no further information on funeral arrangements, but obviously we would share them when we know of them. I only knew Michael a little, but I'm conscious, and having spoken to one or two this morning, that he was a great contributor to this church and this community, so we can remember him and his family with many smiles as well as much sadness. On slightly more positive news, a note from Charlie about Mary Laidlaw, who would like to thank everyone for cards received and good wishes. She's now home. She'd be delighted to see anyone who wishes to pop in between 2 and 4 any day, but if you'd give her a call first, please. Margaret Jordan, however, still is in hospital and needs our prayers. Last week, when I did the intimations, I mentioned that session was looming on Tuesday, and on Tuesday we discussed at length two items. One was messy church, because thanks to those of you who prayed and who came last Sunday afternoon, there were about 30 people in this church between 4 and 6 yesterday afternoon, including 5 families who we don't tend to see in the morning. So there is a positive step taking place with Messy Church. The next one is on the last Sunday in October, the 28th. So if you feel you'd like to join in that in whatever way, by supporting Karen, participating, or just being part of another part of our outreach, you would be most welcome 4 to 6 on the 28th. We also discussed where this church was going as part of our continuing deliberations about forward planning. And some of you will know that we have identified that on the 31st of October, after you've been out trick and treating, there will be an opportunity to come here from 7:30 to 9:30 to be part of our continuing series of future-focused discussions. At session, we recognise that if just the elders turn up, while exciting it is, it could be more exciting if there was other people who have an interest in the future of the church. So we have created little invitations, which we are already distributed in different parts of this church. But it is intended that whoever you are amongst our congregation, you might want to take one or two of these for your wallet or your purse. So when you see somebody who you know that has an interest in the way in which this church participates in the community, they might want to come and offer their view about where we are going. So I would invite all of you who might want to share with others, bring a friend, but seriously to engage in the future planning of this church, to take one of these and take the right moment over the next 2 or 3 weeks to hand those out. I suspect that discussion will become even more interesting in light of a discussion that some of us were at in Dunfermline High School on Thursday evening, which was presbytery-led, coming down from the General Assembly, about presbytery discussing what are we going to do with a diminishing number of attenders and a diminishing number of ministers. Waiting until it's your church's turn to make that decision is too late. So there is a new discussion starting, which seemed to be have the prospect of some exciting elements about how do we organise ourselves in the future so that we sustain what this church does in the community as part of the wider presbytery. And there's some thoughts which I won't share now, but the 31st of October undoubtedly will feature part of that. In the intimations, you'll find that there is a note to say that we might have started clearing the vestry and doing some painting next Saturday. Please delete that from your exciting diary if you already had lined it up to do. We're going to postpone that for a week or two. It will happen, but not next Saturday. And let me conclude by just a reference to the flowers, which Roger mentioned at the outset. The title of the exhibition is Our Villages in Autumn. And I would invite you, when you have a chance, to look at the descriptors beside each arrangement that's there, and you will see how clever Pamela Galloway and her floral art group from within the village and some friends from out with have been. You're invited to join in looking at them. There's also art on the table because it's a joint flower and art exhibition. And as you know, yesterday we had teas and coffees, and today it's going to be a moving feast. So rather than coffee being at the back of the church after the service, you're invited to enjoy the flowers and to walk through and have some coffee, and there is some cake, and then there is some soup, and then there's some bread, and then there's some cake, and there's some coffee, and it runs till 3 o'clock. So you're welcome to come and stay. It's an important part of our fundraising, which the Flowerettes have joined with us in doing, so contributions are also gratefully received. And just one word of warning, be careful, for if you were here about 3:30 on Friday afternoon, when all of this was being tidied up most beautifully, I knocked that one over. And all I can say is, it looks much better on the second attempt. Thank you very much.
Let us pray. Glory to you, O God, from whom all blessings flow. Glory and praise to you for your love which never changes, and for your mercies which are new every morning. O God of light and love, whom we adore, disperse the darkness from our minds and warm our cold hearts, that we may happily sing your praise and listen to your word, and so return to the responsibilities of our daily life, refreshed and strengthened. Heavenly Father, who gives so much to us, give us one thing more, a grateful heart. For the unfolding mystery of this vast universe, for the changing beauty of earth, sea and sky, for the sheer joy of living, we thank you, O God. For dear ones to love and be loved by, for the laughter of children and the conversation of friends, for the riches of the imagination and the treasures of memory, we thank you, O God. For the incarnation of your Son, for his sinless life and perfect example, for his cross and resurrection, for his presence with us now and always, we thank you, O God. Almighty God, from whom we cannot escape, we are ashamed to come before you. We have sinned against your laws, for we have broken them. Against your guidance, for we have rejected it. Against your promises, for we have doubted them. And against your children, our fellow men and women, when we have hurt them. With no excuse to offer, we throw ourselves on your mercy, pleading for forgiveness of all our sins. Be merciful to us, O Lord, as we bring you our personal confession. Heavenly Father, may a true Christian character more and more take shape in our lives. Give us a warm heart, that no coldness may chill our love of people or restrict reaching out to others with deeds of kindness. Give us a clearer vision, that no prejudice may limit our understanding of others or make us intolerant and unjust. And give us a pure mind, that no evil thoughts may corrupt us, cripple our good intentions, or disable us from doing and saying what is right. And hear us all, as in the words Jesus gave us, we pray, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. This morning, readings from the Old Testament, Prophet Micah, and then from the Gospel of Matthew, and our reader is Claire.
Sorry, I just needed to remind myself the actual reading. The first reading is from Micah chapter 6, reading from verses 6 to 8, and that can be found in the Pew Bibles on page 934. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. The New Testament reading comes from Matthew chapter 9, starting from verse 1, and this can be found on page 973 of the Pew Bibles. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know that it is the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat and go home." And the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Thanks be to God for the reading of his holy word. Thank you.
We sing now, "Jesus, be the center, be my source, be my life." Verse from Matthew's Gospel. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. After I had completed 20 years as minister of Cruden Parish Church in Aberdeenshire, I was about to walk off the chancel at the end of the service when I was suddenly commanded to stop. And before I was able to leave, the congregation had marked my 20 years with them by giving me a lovely Bible. Little did they know it was going to take another 20 years before they were giving me another gift. That time, a farewell present. But this Bible puzzled me. Because in Cruden Church, for years, we had been using the Good News Bible. A quite different translation from this one. I had been given a copy of the New International Version. How did they know, 20 years before I retired, that I was going to settle in a church that uses the New International Version? So, this Bible, while I remained minister in Cruden, was hardly used. But I enjoy using it now as I prepare for the services I take in Norman's absence. But sometimes I get a bit puzzled and find it difficult to find what I'm looking for. Today in our study of the fruit of the Spirit, we're thinking of kindness. And I knew from the past, from previous sermons and Bible studies, that there are plenty of references to kindness in the Bible. But when I went looking for them in this Bible, I found them hard to find. Where had they all gone? I did a little more research, and this is what I discovered. I went to Divinity College way back when ministers had to do at least 1 year of Greek and of Hebrew. I actually finished up doing 1 year of Greek, but three of Hebrew. Anyway, I retrieved my much dust-gathered Greek New Testament and discovered that the Greek word eleos is usually translated mercy in the New International Version. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. But in the Good News Bible that I had used for so many years, the word eleos is usually translated kindness. So that same verse from Matthew in the Good News Bible reads, "Go and find out what this scripture means. I do not want animal sacrifices, but kindness." So showing mercy is to show kindness. And wherever there are people, there's always an opportunity for kindness. The basic priority of those of us who worship is to know the God whom we are worshipping. So we have a pilgrimage to make, which takes us along the path of a deepening understanding and love for God and his Son, without whom our knowledge of God would be inadequate. And part of this pilgrimage must lead us through the Old Testament story. The books of the Old Testament form a curious whole. There's a tremendous variety in the literature. Sometimes it is interesting. Sometimes, let's face it, it is dull. On occasion, it is illuminating. On other occasions, it can be baffling. But in the Old Testament, we have the story of a nation in which people are reaching out slowly for a deeper understanding of God. This nation was, in its origins, no less primitive than others around them at the time. But from their early days, and this is more important than the fact that they sometimes adopted evil practices, they were a people whom God was leading to a greater understanding of himself. In the Old Testament, then, is recorded the wavering faith of the Jews, but a faith which was deepening as time went on, deepened by insights of everlasting significance set down in the Old Testament, and which we can come across quite unexpectedly at times. And it was those insights that allowed Old Testament faith to reach heights far beyond any rival faiths. Maybe there are not many such insights in the Old Testament, because we know that God's revelation only became fuller as we moved into New Testament times and reached the life and teaching of Jesus. But no one can read through the book of Micah without stumbling on one of those tremendous religious insights which the Old Testament throws up occasionally. And no one can come across it without recognizing it for what it is, seeing the internal significance of these words. The Lord has told us what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Or if we were using the Good News Bible, to act justly, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Surely these are words to be read slowly so we can take them in. They have to be thought over at length so that we may fully appreciate what the Lord requires of us. In those words, we find that real religion becomes not so much a system of belief or a series of worshipping rituals to be followed faithfully. It becomes a way of life. And that's the message of the Old Testament, which is consistent with the message of the New Testament. For Christ calls us not only to believe, but also to serve. Not only to think, but to act. You would have to be as thick as two planks if you fail to get the message from Jesus about what we should do about other people. No matter who they are. No, it doesn't matter if they are disease-ridden, or if they are women of doubtful virtue, or if they are people of an opposing race. Jesus encountered all of them and more. Even the religious skeptic could not deny that there was a consistency between what Jesus preached and taught and what he did. So there is no doubt that any follower of Jesus is obliged, at pain of denying their faith, to show kindness to anyone in need. In his own dealings with people, Jesus was always reaching out to them with the help and healing and comforting and comfort that they needed. He was always encouraging and challenging them. And that was his compassion or kindness in action. He told a story which commended a hated Samaritan for showing kindness to the man who fell among thieves. In another parable, he categorized people as sheep or goats, depending on how they helped people in need. Okay, these were stories Jesus told, but he was as good as his words. Turning to real life, the message is the same. Jesus was always helping people who were open to receiving his help. And the message could not be clearer. For the Christian, being kind is not an optional extra. It is not something we do at our convenience or just when it suits us. Kindness is required the moment a need appears before us. One wise person once said, "Kindness pays most when you don't do it for pay." And that's illustrated in the story I want to finish with this morning. One day, a poor boy who was selling goods from door to pay his way through school found he had only one penny left and he was hungry. He decided he would ask for a meal at the next house he came to. However, he lost his nerve when a lovely young woman opened the door. Instead of asking for the meal, he simply said, "Could I have a drink of water, please?" She thought he looked hungry, so she brought him a large glass of milk. He drank it slowly and then asked, "How much do I owe you?" "You don't owe me anything," she said. "My mother has taught us never to accept pay for a kindness." The boy said, "Well, I thank you from the bottom of my heart." As he left that house, he not only felt stronger physically, but his faith in God and people was stronger also. He had been ready to give up on life, but not now. Years later, that same woman became critically ill. She was sent to a large hospital in the city, where they called in specialists to study her rare disease. Dr. Howard Kelly was the consultant who seemed to be best able to help her. When he heard the name of the town she came from, a strange look came over him. Dressed in his doctor's gown, he went in to see her. He recognized her at once. He went back to the consultation room, determined to do his best to save her. From that day on, he gave her special attention. And it was a long struggle, but eventually the battle was won and the woman's health was restored. Dr. Kelly asked the hospital to pass the patient's bill to him for approval. When he got it, he looked at it, then wrote something on the edge, and the bill was sent to her room. She feared to open it, for she was sure it would take the rest of her life to pay it. Finally, she looked at it, and something caught her attention on the side of the bill. She read those words, "Paid in full with one glass of milk." It was certainly a wise person who said, "When I was young, I admired clever people. Now that I'm old, I admire kind people. It would be good if you were admired for your readiness to show kindness to others, just as Jesus did. To the glory of God. Amen. We sing now the song, Try a Little Kindness. God of mercy, God of kindness, we ask that you hear and answer our prayer, for now, as both duty and love require, we pray for others. Heavenly Father, we pray first for the Church and for our fellow Christians in other countries, especially for those facing opposition or persecution because of their faith. Give them strength to bear the trial and courage to witness for you. We pray for all missionary servants of the Church, engaged in preaching or pastoral work, in medicine or education. Guide them in all difficulty and cheer them with the sight of your kingdom growing from day to day. Bless your Church in our own land, and make it a force for good, helping to bring together people of different views and attitudes. Be with and guide all who work in parishes, in chaplaincies, in social care, and in administration. Bless your church in our own parish, and help us all to be faithful and kind witnesses, doing your will and extending your kingdom on earth. Almighty God, we pray for our nation, remembering all who are engaged in commerce and industry. May their focus on material things not blind them to the importance of the things of the Spirit. In any disputes that arise, let justice and charity control tongues and govern decisions. And we pray for a world filled with too much greed and hatred and violence, and where a love of power leads to so much corruption and injustice. We pray for all the people in Pakistan, where some aid agencies are being told to leave the country. In Haiti, where an earthquake has led to the death of some people. In Cameroon, heading for an election where corruption is a recurring theme. We pray for the people in China and Hong Kong, with increasing fears of the suppression of dissident voices. And once again for the people of Indonesia, where the extent of the devastation caused by the tsunami will long be felt. And indeed we pray for all other lands where people suffer from injustice, violence, or natural disaster. Merciful God, we bring to you the needs of the distressed, those who are physically or mentally disabled, those ill at home or in hospital, those who have lost husband or wife or have to bring up children alone, those who are feeling the increasing burden of age, and those who are mourning the loss of a loved one. Lord, stretch out your healing hand to touch them. Offer them your support and strength. And lastly, we pray for those bound to us by ties of blood and cords of love, that they may be given health of body, gladness of heart, and a hopeful spirit. In the silence of our hearts, we remember those we would specially ask you to bless. Hear all our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Our closing hymn is 259. Beauty for Brokenness.
Thank you.
peace and joy to serve the Lord in the power of his Holy Spirit. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you, now and forever.